From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. It was a transformative week in America when people who've been swearing all their lives they simply couldn't stand soccer all of a sudden realized they loved it. It's the sporting equivalent of realizing that you're gay. We were confused. What do we wear? And what will we tell our parents? We'll ask what brought us out of the closet, plus actress Scarlett Johansson whispers answers to our questions in that breathy voice she has. And Bill Curtis refuses to reveal the secret of his own impressive delivery.
Get a warrant.
We'll ask who really needs permission to search what on our quiz coming up after this hour's news.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm voluptuous anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks so much. Thank you. I'm just as excited. We've got a great show for you today. Actress Scarlett Johansson will be joining us later to play our game. Now, look, we are not used to talking to beautiful movie stars, but this is NPR. We do not fawn, okay?
Peter?
Yes, Bill?
I've written a brief poem that I'd like to recite if I could right now.
Oh, okay.
S is for the super crush you inspire in your fans. C is for the catsuit that you wore. A is for the apple pancakes I'll make you in the morning. S is for, or R is for the ringlets I adore.
Bill, how long does this go on?
As long as it takes, Peter.
Well, however you spell your name, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
This is King Weeman from Vestal, New York.
Did you say your name was King?
Yes, that is my first name.
Really? That's a name that your parents gave you when they must have expected great things from you.
It was my father's name, so I'm not sure who was supposed to have the greater achievement.
Right. And was he like, I have spent my life disappointing everyone who's met me, now I shall put this curse on my son?
It's more like a curse, yes.
Yes. But I mean, has it been tough being named king? Have people expected regal things from you?
No, I think they just use it as an opportunity to make fun of my name.
Really? What kind of terrible, shallow people would ever do that? King, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Washington Post. It's Roxanne Roberts is here.
Hello, King.
Next, it's the man behind the world's favorite podcast. We asked. It is. It's Too Beautiful to Live. Luke Burbank is here.
Hey, King.
Hi, Luke.
And finally, making her debut on our panel, it's a writer and comedian. It is Shelby Farrow is here. King, you're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis will now recreate for you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine, voicemail, whatever you may have. Are you ready to play?
I am.
Your first quote is actually a series of headlines about Uruguayan soccer star Luis Suarez.
Chewy Lewis and the Blues. Holy moler. Says soccer cannibal lawyer, there's no tooth to it.
Those are all references to Luis Suarez's hunger for victory in an opponent's shoulder at this year's what?
The World Cup.
Yes, indeed. The World Cup. Yay! Football. Copa Mundial. This is the week that Americans finally joined the rest of the world and became soccer fans.
Football.
If... Oh, please. Look, give us a little time, okay? Look, if we had known there was biting in soccer, we would have started watching years ago. We love things with biting. Twilight movies, zombie movies, eating. After Luis Suarez of Uruguay bit an Italian opponent on the shoulder, two things happened. Suarez was thrown out of the rest of the tournament, and the player he bit turned Uruguayan.
The most amazingly soccery part of this whole event was that after he clearly bit this guy, and I'm not kidding, he fell to the ground and held his mouth like it had been hurt.
Well, it had been, actually, because what happened was he bit the guy, and the guy, being bit, elbowed him in the mouth, as one might naturally do upon being bit unexpectedly.
And we know shoulder meat's pretty tough.
That's true. I want to ask you, is soccer not the most gorgeous male sport there is?
Oh,
these guys are cute.
They're sinewy.
They're sinewy? There are, I mean, Ronaldo, I am now gay, because I have watched Ronaldo play soccer. I mean, it just happens. It's like, okay.
It's like I'm gay now, too. I became a male, and then I turned gay for Cristiano.
But, I mean, they're physically so impressive, and then every time they score a goal, they become furious at their jersey. Like it did something.
Damn you! Get this off of me!
And then their beauty is even more on display. And then I'm like, you know what? Hold the second order of wings. Because I see what it's supposed to look like when you're a hot dude. And
do you
it's
think?
Not happening in this Applebee's.
Well, the other big soccer news this week is that the U.S. did not lose. At least not yet. And, okay, they did lose, but they still won. It's kind of like finding out the girl who turned you down big time for a date has chlamydia. It's like, hey!
Oh!
USA.
USA.
All right, here is your next quote.
Don't hold it against me that I don't own a single stock or bond.
That was somebody saying that he, just like Hillary Clinton, who he might be running against for the Democratic presidential nomination, is really poor. Who was it?
I'm going to need a hint.
You're going to need a hint. Well, like I said, he's seen as one of the primary rivals for Hillary Clinton to be the next Democratic presidential nominee.
I don't have any idea.
Well, how about Joe Biden then?
Really?
Yeah, with 2 years till the nomination, both Biden and Clinton are positioning themselves to be the Democratic nominee. And are they stressing their experience, their ideas, their excellent hair? No, they've been talking about their poverty. Hillary Clinton this week told a reporter that she and Bill aren't truly well off, even though they're incredibly rich, because they pay income taxes like everybody else. In fact, she says they were so poor when they left the White House, they could hardly afford Bill's website memberships.
Ooh. Hillary, how do I work the private browsing on this?
Biden countered. He came back at her. He was speaking at a summit for working families, and he said he had no stocks, no bonds, or savings account. He then asked a Secret Service agent to hand him his hobo bindle. And he jumped a freight train back to D.C.
Why are we at this place in American politics where the number one thing going for you is that you've never done the job before or have been really bad at your personal finances?
Right. They're going to have their debates on a street corner around a barrel fire. Biden will be like, well, President Obama promised you change. I ask you, can you spare any change?
The fingerless gloves are coming off.
Yeah. Yeah. Biden would make a way better hobo than Hillary, though. Don't you think?
Oh, he'd be the fun one. He's the town tramp.
Biden is like a GED away from being a hobo.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he could have gone down that path.
He got out, but
and he would be just as happy.
Yes, exactly.
He'd be like, look at this can of beans I got. This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Get a warrant.
That straightforward bit of instruction came from a group of 9 people who don't normally speak so clearly or unanimously. Who?
The Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court. Very good. In a surprising unanimous ruling, the Supreme Court ruled the police cannot search what is on your phone without a warrant. Court observers said a unanimous decision from this court was slightly less likely than Scalia winning the annual Supreme Court wet robe contest. In the ruling, Justice Roberts, who wrote the decision, referred to cell phones as not just phones, but, quote, cameras, video players, Rolodexes, calendars, tape recorders, libraries, and diaries, unquote. Plus, he went on, best friends, lovers, The only one who truly understands me. And my precious.
Well, they would never get into my phone because the code is 1111. They'd have to get like a code breaker.
It's surprising the ruling was unanimous, especially since the conservative justices in the court tend to favor police powers. We assumed they were going to split down the normal lines, conservative and liberal, when Justice Thomas found out it would mean the police could actually look at the pictures on his phone.
He's like, wait, we got to shut that down yesterday.
Bill, how did King do in our quiz?
King got 2 out of 3, but under the World Cup rules, he won it all.
Congratulations. You escaped the group of death, King. Well done.
I don't get to advance to the Scarlett Johansson round?
No, sadly. Take care, and thanks for calling, King.
Thank you.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks here at the Chase Bank Auditorium. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Roxanne, tickets to the World Cup, as you might expect, are hard to come by, and authorities in Brazil suspected some wheelchair-bound World Cup spectators of fraud when they were observed doing what?
Playing soccer?
No.
Were they out of the wheelchairs?
Yes, they were jumping out of their wheelchairs in excitement during the game.
Ah, yes.
Closed circuit TV.
I love it. I love it when they're just like so dumb about it. Like you could strap yourself in to remind yourself that you're not supposed to jump up.
Yeah.
But just imagine that one guy jumping and being like, oh, miracle. Soccer.
I have been healed by Ronaldo. You know, in their defense, when they were, you know, confronted with this, they pointed out that faking serious injury is an important part of soccer. Yeah. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Lumber Liquidators, supporting the Ronald McDonald House Charities, the National Braille Press, and NPR. Information at lumberliquidators.com. Gevalia, over 150 years of Swedish expertise, dedicated to the art of coffee making. Gevalia, rich, never bitter. And CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Shelby Farrow, Roxanne Roberts, and Luke Burbank. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Evan from Miami.
Hey, how are things in Miami, Evan?
Good. A little toasty now.
A little toasty, yeah. The summer in Miami gets a little warm.
Yeah, it's hot. And I guess yesterday we heard LeBron maybe leaving the Heat as well. So.
Oh, no. Is that Are you sad about that?
No.
You sound like a diehard fan.
Yeah. Well, Evan, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Evan's topic?
Once upon a time.
Every kid grows up believing in fairy tales. But seriously, have you ever thought about, say, how painful it would be to really wear a glass slipper or kiss a frog? This week, though, we saw what happens when a story from a fairy tale truly comes to life. Guess that real-life fairy tale. And you'll win Fairy Godfather Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Ready to play?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's hear it from our first storyteller, Roxanne Roberts.
Once upon a time, there was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader named Sissy Patterson, who was the fairest of them all, until last year when 22-year-old Mallory Edmonds joined the squad. Mallory quickly became a fan favorite and was promoted to co-captain, a job Sissy thought she deserved. So Sissy concocted an evil plan to dethrone her young rival. She would make her fat. Cowboy cheerleaders are kicked off the squad if they gain more than 5 pounds above their hiring weight. As Mallory's workout coach, Sissy gave her smoothies and snacks secretly laced with protein powder and hidden sugars designed to pack on pounds. The jig was up when Mallory fainted at a charity twerking contest and doctors diagnosed elevated amounts of protein and testosterone in her system. Sissy was kicked off the squad and is now working as a life coach on Wall Street.
Snow White reenacted. From the Dallas Cowboys cheerleader squad, your next story of a childhood story coming to life comes from Luke Burbank. Back in the early 1800s, the Grimm brothers set many of their fairy tales in the worst place they could think of, the Black Forest. Why? Because they'd never heard of Florida. But that's exactly where 19-year-old Chauncey Layton decided to go all Goldilocks on it recently, when she broke into a St. Augustine home, changed into the owner's pajamas, made some dinner, and then, exhausted from her larceny, fell asleep on the couch. Upon arriving home later that night, the humans who owned the house startled Layton, who jumped up and ran out. Fortunately for law enforcement, she left behind her purse and her passport, so she was easily tracked down. When caught, she claimed that someone named Jeremy had told her it was okay to stay in the house and that she should enter through a window. You know, like you do. Layton is currently out on $8,000 bail. No word on how things are going between her and Jeremy, who may or may not be a gingerbread man she met on Tinder, who totally gets her. Goldilocks in Florida, as a couple of humans, not bears, comes home to find a blonde girl sleeping in their bed. Your last story of real people acting like storybook characters comes from Shelby Farah.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home. Unless, of course, you leave them unattended at the airport, then TSA tends to step in. Such was the case at one Nevada airport, where a duffel bag full of toys, including stuffed sheep, was reported missing by one frantic passenger. He approached security, claiming to have left it at a Wolfgang Puck Express, where he'd eaten lunch before the flight, for just a moment while he used the restroom, and that they were birthday presents for his daughter. The bag had in fact been spotted by security, who found a surprise waiting for them among the furry creatures inside. And no, it wasn't a wolf in sheep's clothing they saw, but about 8 pounds of cocaine in sheep's clothing. Along with three little pigs stuffed full of meth, a big bad wolf filled with heroin, and a little Jack in the Beanstalk holding three magic Vicodins. Surprisingly, the TSA failed to bust him for the bottle of water that turned out to be a bottle of water.
All right. Which of these was the real story in this week's news? Which fairy tale, if you will, came to life? Was it from Roxanne, Snow White, when a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader tries to poison another so she can be still the fairest of them all? From Luke Burbank, Goldilocks, when a young woman, a young blonde woman, falls asleep in a home in Florida only to be discovered by the irate owners? Or from Shelby Farrell, Little Bo Peep, who lost his sheep, which happened to be filled with cocaine? Which of these is the real story of a fairy tale in the week's news?
I think I'm going to have to go with the Florida story.
You're going to go with the Florida story, which is Goldilocks. Yeah.
Goldilocks, the second story.
The young blonde girl falling asleep inside the house. Well, to find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone familiar with the story.
You know, just like Goldilocks broke into the three bears' house, this girl did the exact same thing. She wanted some food, she wanted a nice place to crash, and just like Goldilocks, she got caught.
That was Rachel Zarrell, a breaking news reporter for BuzzFeed, talking about the Goldilocks robber. Congratulations, Evan, you got it right. In fact, Luke was telling the truth. You earned a point for him. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting in your voicemail. Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Evan.
Great, thank you.
Bye-bye. And now the game where people who could be doing something better with their time inexplicably choose to join us to play a game we call Not My Job. Scarlett Johansson has starred in movies ranging from Lost in Translation to The Avengers. Her new film, Lucy, comes out this summer. Scarlett Johansson, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
We're very pleased to talk to you.
It's wonderful to talk to you. I'm so happy to be on the show, or at least over this strange sort of So I don't know. It's like her. I'm getting the flashbacks now.
Yeah, I know. It is. It is a little weird. We're talking about being on the phone. Believe me, we're disappointed you're on the phone as well. actually, this is. I was. You know. Oh, come on. Give me a break. I can't even see her, okay? Jeez.
We're just going to say this, Skylar, right off it. All the boys here are practically incoherent, all right? So if they can't talk in any kind of reasonable way, Shelby and I will take over.
Right. Okay. Okay. Right. You all can right. take here over. I'm just as incoherent.
I didn't know this, that you actually started out... is it true that you were a child performer? You were performing as a child?
Yes, I was a... Well, that sort of makes me sound like some sort of...
It sounds like she
know,
did vaudeville.
Some kind of traveling show or
yes.
something like that. I started out making films when I was about 8 years old, and I worked continuously, very thankfully, ever since then. I was a kind of a jazz hands sort of singing, dancing kid, and then I, you know, went through puberty and, you know, kind of became introverted, and it worked for me. Actually, so I stuck with that.
We talked to Brooke Shields once, who also obviously was very well known growing up, and she's told us that her mother had sent her to a high school over in New Jersey so she could have a semblance of normal life. Did you have that desire?
Is a high school in New Jersey a semblance of normal life? Let's be honest.
But did you ever? I mean, you were in films from a young age. Did you ever say to yourself, "Oh, I wish I could, like, you know, walk down the street and not be recognized," or "I wish I could go to a regular school on a regular basis as opposed to having tutors in a set," or whatever the differences might have been?
You know, I actually had a fairly normal childhood as far as schooling went and being able to go out with friends, and I grew up in New York City, and I attribute any semblance of groundedness to growing up here. I think it kept me fairly normal.
It is good to be famous in New York, because New Yorkers like don't care. New York, not only will they not bother you if you're famous, they'll come up and they say, "I don't care that you're famous."
You know, I think New Yorkers probably pride themselves on going about their business, and I think you see somebody who's a celebrity, but the person that's, you know, hailing a taxi in their underpants is way more interesting, and you see that too in New York. You know, you kind of see everything.
Speaking of New York, I also recently watched The Avengers, and you've done three or four movies as the Black Widow.
Yes, I didn't know where you were going with that exactly. I thought you were going to say, "You saved New York." So
I did, you saved New York, which is a good thing to do, speaking of the city being under attack.
Yes,
to remind us.
So it's now my, let's see, fourth time where I'm suiting up.
You seem to be having an enormous amount of fun.
It is. It's a great job. I have an amazing cast of incredibly talented actors to make me look like I know what the hell I'm doing, and she's sort of a gray kind of a character. She doesn't have the same moral compass as the superhero in our minds, and
yeah, moral ambiguity. You get to kill people with your thighs, Scarlett. That's pretty cool. Have you actually learned any, like, actual combat skills? Could you, in fact, beat somebody up if there were a real-life situation?
Of course I could.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, actually, because this comic movies are great, but I recently saw Her, the movie in which you appear only as a disembodied voice. And it is really amazing. And the movie, if for people who haven't seen it, and you should, is about a relationship between Joaquin Phoenix, who's a person, and Samantha, who's an operating system, who does not have a body, who is only a voice. Scarlett's voice. And I found out later that you actually did it all later, right?
Yeah, we actually, Spike had built this little kind of vocal prison booth thing that was just a very contained area where I had just a stool and a stand, and, you know, that was it. I think it helped in some ways because, you know, when you're doing a vocal performance, there's a different challenge to it. You've taken away the other tool you have as an actor, which is, you know, your body and your face, and so you become hyper aware of the nuance of your vocal performance in a way that's really, it's really something.
Well, I want you to know that not only did I find the movie heartbreaking, ever since I've seen it, I've looked at my own phone with a real sense of disappointment.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing Scarlett, and I was proud of you at this time, because you're really a tough New Yorker. You were on the red carpet. I don't know whether it was the Academy Awards or...
Are you talking about when Isaac Mizrahi grabbed my breast mid-interview?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
You are.
Hold on, slow down. So,
I was going to describe
Scarlett,
it.
Please, could you tell the story of what happened with Isaac Mizrahi, who's been a guest on the show, I should say. Go on.
You just want to hear me say, grab my breath.
I'm sorry. I did not hear you clearly enough. What are you suggesting?
I'll tell you, she almost slugged him.
Well, what happens, Carla?
Well, just that. I don't know how else to put it, really.
So you're standing on a red carpet.
You know, it was such an incredibly strange and out-of-body experience. I mean, the last thing that you ever expect when somebody's interviewing you is for them to grab your breast. But I guess maybe my dress invited that sort of thing. I don't know.
Did Isaac, who's a fashion designer, if you don't know, Isaac was a very flamboyant individual. Did he explain why he was doing this, or did he just... It was like, honk, honk. I mean, what was he doing?
Yeah, I guess he just sort of had a kind of a, like, Brumsky sort of a moment, and he retreated, and we went to commercial break. It was very strange.
What do you say to somebody? What do you say to him after that when you're in the commercial break?
I think I just said something like, oh, that was strange. I'll be seeing you later. No, I don't know.
Might be barking up the wrong tree there.
I humiliated him later on, actually. Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, what a pleasure to talk to you. We've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Indestructible Captain Scarlet.
Oh.
You may be one of the most famous Scarlets in the world now, but back in the 60s, you may not have been able to hold a candle to Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, a British science fiction TV show. We're going to ask you three questions about Captain Scarlet. Scarlet, get two right and win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Scarlett Johansson playing for?
Janelle Hutter of Ecuador.
Before we begin, have you ever come across Captain Scarlet?
No.
Oh,
no,
excellent.
I haven't.
That puts you in the perfect position to play this game. Here we go. Here's your first question. Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons was filmed using a fantastic new special effects technology. What was it called? A. Wow-O-Vision. B. Super Marionation. Or C. Six-Dimensional Touch Vision.
Oh, gosh. I'm like flop sweating. Is that one of the answers?
No, flop sweating.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, Super Marionation?
Sure.
Yes, in fact, it was Super Marionation. This was a variation on the technology that they used to make the Thunderbirds, same guy, used sophisticated marionettes that actually looked mostly like talking Ken dolls. All right. Two more questions. The marionettes used in the show were quite an advance over previous TV puppets, much more lifelike and expressive, but there was one limitation to them. What? A, if the operators made the marionettes smile too much, their heads fell off. B, they could not walk at all. Or C, the hips on their bodies were so narrow, their pants would always fall off on camera.
Oh, gosh. I guess I'm going to go with maybe A.
You're going to go with A? If you made them smile too much, their heads would fall off?
Why are you saying it like that?
It might be a hint.
How am I saying it? I don't know what you mean.
They cannot walk at all?
They cannot walk at all? Is that your choice?
Oh, God. Somebody help me. All right, I'm going to go with they cannot walk at all. They couldn't walk at all.
You're right. That's what they were. The marionettes looked ridiculous while walking, so in the future world in which the show takes place, there are a lot of motorized office chairs. It's really quite funny. All right, let's see if you can go for a perfect here. Like James Bond, Captain Scarlet also has his trademarks. One of them is that he almost always did what at the end of each episode? A, describe his busy day fighting evil to his dog, Captain Billy. B, have his signature cocktail, the Scarlatini. Or C, he dies.
At
the end of each episode.
This is an English show, so it could be C.
It could well be. That suits their mood, as you clearly know.
I'm going to go with A, he describes his busy day to his dog, Captain Billy.
I would have loved that as a child when I loved this show. Well, Captain Billy... No, it actually was C, he dies.
No!
Pretty much at the end of every episode, he dies. But not a problem, because he had been made indestructible by the alien Mysterons.
Oh,
no biggie.
Title.
How anticlimactic.
No, really, it's so funny. It's like, you know, so this big evil thing, and he's fighting the big evil plot, and he foils the evil plot, and they kill him. Roll credits. And then the next episode is like, well, that was shocking, and now you're back.
Did you actually watch this?
I loved this show as a kid.
That sounds
really?
Like a great
yes.
show.
It's
that explains a lot about you. I'm
yeah.
sure.
Bill, how did Scarlett Johansson do in our quiz?
Scarlett got 2 out of 3, which means she advances to the World Cup final.
There you are. Scarlett Johansson's new movie, Lucy, opens July 25th. If you can't wait that long, I don't blame you. Check her out in the movie Under the Skin. It's available on demand. Scarlett Johansson, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank
you
so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for being on the show. What a delight. Thank you.
Captain Scarlett, though the Mysterons plan to conquer the earth, this indestructible man will show up.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Carnegie Corporation, proud supporter of StoryCorps, sharing stories of new citizens. More at greatimmigrants.carnegie.org. Angie's List, connecting consumers with user-reviewed contractors, an online marketplace, and concierge support for home improvement services, angieslist.com. And Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees, now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Luke Burbank, Shelby Farrow, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill mixes up some rhyme dressing and pours it on a wild limerick salad. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Shelby, members of Parliament over in Britain have been highly critical of the Bank of England in recent weeks. But like many things in economics, these issues are difficult to understand. So to put it in language everybody can grasp, one MP said the Bank of England is just like a what?
Can I have a hint?
You're understanding how this game works very quickly. I like that. Well, the bank never remembers our anniversary. It won't talk about its emotions, and it keeps looking at finding...
Like a bad marriage.
Close. A bad boyfriend.
Oh.
A member of Parliament got on the floor. His name is Pat McFadden. He said, quote, "We've had a lot of different signals from the Bank of England. The bank's behaving like an unreliable boyfriend. One day hot, one day cold, and we're left not knowing where they stand." Now, we don't want to get into the specifics because that's Planet Money's boring job, but it does seem like Mr. McFadden might have just gone through a bad breakup, especially when he added, "You said you loved me, Bank of England."
That's a weird analogy to be making in front of what are potentially all your fellow parliament government member. You
yes.
know what I mean? Like, you're like, "Oh, like Stacey knows what I'm talking about."
What do you think the chances are there's somebody in the House of Lords whose name's Stacey?
Oh, yeah.
Lady Stacey. Luke, New York State legislators have passed a bill banning citizens from taking selfies next to what? Somewhat dangerous answer.
Potentially
a hungry answer.
Dangerous and hungry. Is it next to like the lions in the zoo?
Oh, lions or
the tigers?
Yes, tigers.
What about the bears?
Bears are actually okay. Let me explain.
Oh my.
Apparently, selfies taken with tigers have become a big trend on dating sites like OkCupid and BleedingStumpDate.net. Yes, and New York State wants to end the practice before someone gets hurt. Good for them, I guess. But people trying to take selfies with tigers seems like a problem that will eventually solve itself. See, traveling circuses have been going around and offering people the chance to pay to have their picture taken with selfie with these cats. It's great for showing people, "This is what I look like back when I had a face." Now, the tiger pics have gotten popular on these dating sites because they say, hey, I'm a little bit dangerous. I hang with tigers. Now that they're outlawed, people are punching up their profiles with oncoming train selfies and look at this disgusting person I recently woke up next to selfies. Luke, it's been a tough week for the Environmental Protection Agency. First, the Supreme Court issued a decision limiting somewhat the agency's authority. And if that wasn't enough, EPA employees received a memo asking them to stop doing what?
Taking selfies with the protected tigers?
No. I cannot believe I'm going to give you this hint, but here it is. This is the kind of thing we expect more from the National Endowment for the Sharts.
They are using some bathrooms they're not supposed to use?
They're actually using the hallway instead of the bathroom, at least in one.
What?
This is true. The EPA was
Wait.
Give him a bell, please.
Thank you.
This week, an administrator in Denver was forced to officially reprimand employees about an incident involving a hallway used by Special Agent Number 2.
Oh no. Peter.
I know which EPA building I'm not going in.
It's like a disgruntled employee, because every once in a blue moon, if my cats get mad at me, they express their displeasure. And I hadn't thought about it in human terms.
There you go, see? Shelby, 22 firefighters in the German city of Tübingen were called in to rescue an American exchange student who got stuck in a what?
Ooh. Oh, is it a sex thing?
It is.
Girl or boy?
Girl.
Oh, really?
The boy got stuck.
Oh, the boy got stuck.
In a girl sex thing.
Oh.
I should say, it's not a real girl. It was a giant sculpture of a, yeah.
Vagina?
Yes!
Hey, but I have to ask, was it, like, for sure a stone vagina, or was it one of those, like, Georgia O'Keeffe, like, oh, it's an oyster?
Oh,
This is
the thing. You know what young men are like? They can't help themselves. Studies show that men under 25 think about climbing into a giant stone vagina every 6 seconds. So this student was walking by it and said to himself, you know, wouldn't it be funny if, and he climbed in for a picture. Then he couldn't get out.
What did they do to get the guy out? I mean, did they up?
No, they had 22 firefighters responded, right?
You know that, like, they needed 2 firefighters for this job.
Yeah.
But 20 German firefighters
like, come on, guys,
we're
going
to go to this.
Let's go.
The cat up the tree will be fine. Yeah. We're going to the exchange student in the giant vagina.
Yeah, I know.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Coming up, it's lightning, fill in the blank. But first, it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, and our first ever show in the wilds of Red Rocks outside Denver, Colorado, on July 10th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Wendy from Middleton, Massachusetts.
Hello, Wendy. How are things in Middleton?
Great.
And what do you do there?
I am a health coach with a practice called Well Beyond 50.
Well Beyond 50.
Yes.
I see. It's sort of a pun.
Well, it wasn't meant to be.
Well, welcome to our show, Wendy. You're going to play the Listener Limerick Challenge. Bill Curtis right here is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and 2 of the limericks will be a big winner. Ready to go?
I sure am.
Here is your first limerick.
Another indignant mom blows in, but Elsa is already chosen. Yes, lady, we know kids love Let It Go. That's why there's a day camp about.
Ooh.
So it rhymes with
Frozen.
Frozen, yes!
Frozen. My goodness.
Kids all over America. are singing Frozen songs and dressing up like the characters. Problem is, the parents don't get to pay for them to do that. Well, no more. Two Frozen summer camps are opening up around Chicago. There's plays, dances, betrayals by those you thought you loved. At $250 for 5 days, it's a bargain. Just be prepared for tears when your darling daughter comes home and says she was chosen to play the fat comic relief snowman.
That song is probably the most important thing in America.
The song "Let It Go."
I'd say above like the military, above the sort of anything else in this country. It is what's holding this country together.
Here is your next limerick.
The mortician is posing my wife in a kitchenette, wielding a knife. A coffin display is far too blasé. I like a scene drawn from real
life.
Yes, indeed, real life. The New York Times recently reported on a new trend in funerals, the bereaved are posing their loved ones in elaborate real-life situations, in case you need another reason not to die. In one example, a grandma is propped at her kitchen table, smoking a cigarette, surrounded by her favorite things, a TV, a bottle of whiskey, and beer. The important thing is they let you choose how you're propped up. Don't let your loved ones pose you how you lived, ignoring your family, watching Netflix with your iPad propped up on your chest.
Yeah. I would honestly say this is actually the first thing that has probably made me the least afraid of death.
Like, really?
Yeah, the thought that afterwards I could do some sort of weird bit that everyone has to be a part of.
Here's my question. Do I have to be posed by myself? Like, could I be posed in bed with, say, George Clooney or something? No.
It depends how much George Clooney is getting work at that time. Here is your last limerick.
From my youth, when I squirmed in my rug spot, to last week, when with weapons and drugs caught, I was shunned and ignored. But now I have scored. The ladies all swoon at my...
Rhymes with rug spot, drugs caught.
I have no clue.
It's mugshot.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course. Last week, one Jeremy Meeks was arrested in California for gang-related crimes. And as soon as his incredibly hot mugshot hit the internet, it was like the only thing that man is guilty of is stealing my heart. Internet went nuts. Rumors flew that Oprah had personally bailed him out, that he'd been offered a modeling contract. None of them are true. Meeks remains in prison, spending his days cutting out license plates with his razor-sharp cheekbones.
It's hard because it's a radio show, so we can't show a picture. But if it means anything with my word, he's a beautiful man.
He's actually too good-looking. He's a little bit like...
Personal preference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill, how did Wendy do in our quiz?
2 out of 3.
Yes.
Winner, winner, Wendy winner.
Congratulations, Wendy. Bye bye. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Roxanne and Shelby are tied with 2. Luke has 4.
Oh my goodness, Luke. Well done. We have flipped a coin. Shelby has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Tuesday, Vladimir Putin supported an extended ceasefire with blank.
Uh-oh, I should know this. Ukraine?
Yes, Ukraine. Okay. Senator Thad Cochran narrowly avoided defeat against his Tea Party opponent in a runoff election in blank.
Oh. I don't know. Florida?
Mississippi.
Okay.
A child's birthday party in Alaska was ruined / made awesome when blank happened.
A grizzly bear attacked them?
Close enough. A bear fell through the skylight and ate all the cupcakes.
Yeah.
This week, a handwritten lyric sheet of Like a Rolling Stone by blank sold for $2 million at auction.
Rolling Stones? Wait, Rolling Stone. Bob Dylan?
Yes.
Yeah.
On Monday, Miami Heat player blank announced he'd be opting out of his contract and becoming a free agent.
LeBron?
Yes, LeBron James. After mishearing a question about the umpires, a Wimbledon player spent a few minutes sharing his opinion with the press on blank.
I don't know, women's rights.
No, on the role of vampires in tennis.
Mythologically?
Yeah, Latvian tennis player Ernests Gulbis had been asked a question about Wimbledon's umpires, and he thought they said vampires. And this is the thing. He's like, all right, I'm a professional tennis player. We must do press appearances. They asked me about vampires. I shall talk about vampires. And he finally realized his mistake, but not before letting the press and the tennis world know in general that he's definitely 100% Team Jacob. Bill, how did Shelby do in our quiz?
You know, Shelby got 4 right for 8 more points. She now has 10 and the lead.
All right. Very well done. Roxanne, that means you're up next. Fill in the blank. Following months of escalating conflict, Secretary of State John Kerry said Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki would form a new government in blank.
In Iraq.
Right. On Wednesday, House Speaker John Boehner threatened to sue blank for failing to carry out Congress's laws.
President Obama.
Right. Officials have accused Boko Haram of setting off the bomb that destroyed a mall in blank on Wednesday.
In Nigeria.
Right. On Wednesday, Representative Charlie Rangel narrowly won his Democratic primary in blank.
In New York City.
Yes. Probably. Authorities in Kazakhstan have dismantled a new monument honoring 19th century activists after locals said it looked like blank.
Oh, I forget. I saw this. Mickey Mouse.
No, it looks like 2 hobbits taking a selfie.
Good.
Okay. And it does, too. Tim Lincecum became the second pitcher in Major League Baseball history to pitch 2 blanks against the same team.
No hitter.
Right. Best known for his roles in The Magnificent Seven and The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Actor blank passed away on Tuesday.
Eli Wallach.
Right. The BBC has apologized to users of its news app for sending them a breaking news alert that said blank.
Oh. It said, I can't remember.
It said, breaking news, no nudity in latest episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh.
The BBC explained they were just testing the app's functionality when the news alert was sent out to the users and ensured disappointed users that from here on out, they'd be reserving their breaking news notifications for alerting the public to important stuff, like the crisis in Iraq or when there is nudity in Game of Thrones. Bill, how did Roxanne do?
She got 6 right for 12 more points. That gives her 14 points and the lead.
Well done. All right. How many, then, does Luke Burbank need to win?
5 to tie and 6 to win.
All right, Luke. This is for the game. This week, Blank faced another controversy when he went to Chipotle and reached his arm over the sneeze guard.
President Obama.
Yes, on Wednesday, a federal appeals court in Utah upheld a ruling declaring the state's blank ban unconstitutional.
Gay marriage.
Right. Amid a continuing scandal, 2 senior officials at the Department of Blank stepped down this week.
Veterans Affairs.
Right. On Monday, the Supreme Court allowed the EPA to continue curbing blank emissions.
Carbon.
Good enough. Greenhouse gas. A Minnesota man was arrested for burglarizing a home after he forgot to blank before leaving.
Record a Prairie Home Companion.
No. He was arrested after he forgot to log off Facebook before leaving the home he broke into. With her win at the U.S. Women's Open on Sunday, Michelle Wee claimed her first major blank tournament.
Golf.
Right. Perky talk show host and former intern for Carl Castle, blank, was married at her home this weekend.
Katie Couric.
Yes. A North Dakota man was arrested for driving under the influence after he blanked, blanked, and then blanked.
Boy. North Dakota? North Dakota. Okay. Pub crawled?
No. After he fell out of his car, got run over by his own car, then gone back in his car and drove away.
That'll happen.
The man was in full sight of police when he tumbled from his car, which continued to move forward, and ran him over. He then got back up, jogged toward his open door, and stumbled back into the driver's seat before attempting to speed away from the police. He was quickly apprehended and put himself in handcuffs and played both good cop and bad cop. During the interrogation, Bill, did Luke do well enough to win?
Well, he got 6 right for 12 more points. So with 16 points, Luke is the champion this week.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that biting is out, what will be the next way players try to get an advantage at the World Cup? But first, let me tell you that support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to creative people and creative companies at powerofideas.org. The Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and child well-being. And Progressive, offering policyholders the option to bundle home and auto insurance coverage. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is the Seth Defense is a good Kelly Fence. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks this week to Ms. Ari Berkowitz. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nien. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will replace biting in the World Cup? Roxanne Roberts.
They'll rip off their shirts and try to outpeck each other.
Shelby Farrow.
Just good old-fashioned gumming, man. Pull out those teeth and just go to town.
And Luke Burbank.
I don't know, but please can it involve Scarlett Johansson's voice?
Well, if it does, you'll hear about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks to Roxanne Roberts, Luke Burbank, and Shelby Farrell. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.